Well, good morning on this, the 15th of April, 2020. This is our Wednesday morning, stroke afternoon, stroke evening, stroke whenever you spin us up or click on us on the internet service. I hope and pray you are having a Christ-centered time. It might not be a wonderful time or an exciting time, but it can certainly be a Christ-centered time. It can be a building of character, not just an enjoying of experiences. In fact, I think that's what it really has to be at this particular time. We're glad to have your company. Pray that this will be a help to you. Pray that this is not the only time you ever open your Bible, but that you would take time to see what God has to say to you each day and early and every endeavor. We're praying for you. Hope the very best for you. And glad you could join us. We're going to begin with a word of prayer. And then we're going to sing 406 in our hymn book, Who is on the Lord's Side? Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day and for life and health and strength. Pray you, Father, for your good hand upon us, especially at this time, but Lord, also whenever we have finished this particular time that we've set aside with you, Lord, that you would remind us, please, as we go, that we should be forever considering you, Lord, and the way things should be done. Thank you for each one of the brethren. Pray you for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang, for John and Will, for Christine and Mary Ann, for William and Rachel and wee Lillian as well, Lord. Please, I pray you, bless these families. Pray you too, Lord, for Rita and Elaine and Hilary. I pray you, Lord, for help and salvation at this time, for comfort and strength, and Lord, even if it would be a wee bit of healing. For Esther, Lord, and her kids and their families too. Please, Lord, I pray you save souls there, and please lift up those that are saved. Remember Brother Christie as well. Thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness over the years and for the great work that you have enabled him to do. I pray that you bless him and aid him as he works on his PhD and with the health service, gathering information and hopefully, Lord, pointing out a few things that could be done better or you know, Lord. Bless him, I pray you, this day. We remember as well Pat and Steve, Lord. I know, Father, they have many family members that don't yet know you as Saviour, but I pray you please at this time, especially at this time, that you would speak to Keith and Pat. Pat, forgive me if I miss a name, but please save Marie. I know Edward's yours already, Lord, but Florence, Janet, Anne and Evelyn and Helen and Alfie, Lord, and I think there's one I've missed in there, but you know, Pat, Florrie as well, if I haven't gotten her. Please, Lord, save Lorna and Philip. We remember, too, at this time, their own health difficulties, and pray you, Lord, for strength and comfort and healing at this time. Lord, look after Norman. Help him to get rid of that chest infection that he has. Please heal him. And I pray you, too, for all of for your hand in all of his affairs as he gets things sorted out. I pray you, Lord, too, for his stepson, Mark, that you would work really, really, Lord, that you would work really deeply in his heart and mind, that you would open his understanding. Please, Lord, save his soul. Thank you, Lord, for Carol and for John and for Stephen. I pray that you would save Stephen, that you would help Carol and John at this time with health issues. I think Carol's elbows and shoulders are bothering her a lot at this particular time. Please, Lord, I pray you help her. Touch her body, I pray. Be with John as he learns those Bible verses. And Lord, I don't ask that you would slow him down. I ask that you would speed me up. And help me to catch up with him, Lord. But bless those verses to his heart and mind, to mine as well, and to each person that will take the time to commit them to the memory. Lord, we pray you too for Maslin and Georgina Fleckner. Pray you, Lord, for strength and comfort for them, for healing as and when they need it, and for their two sons, for their salvation, Lord. Please save souls. For my dad, for Monica's mom and dad, for our missionaries, especially for Paul Forrest at this time. Lord, he's still in the hospital. He's just not doing so good. Please, Lord, I pray you for comfort and strength for him, but most importantly for your will. Pray that this would be for a saving and a straightening of Chris and Ashley, Lord. Please be with Sister Judy at this time too. We remember as well Brother Cosgrave and his family. Nita, Norlisa, Tony and Anthony, Lord, please, I pray you preserve them and put your good hand upon them. We remember too, Father, Kids for Schools, Open Doors, and all of the Christian outreaches and the Christian Institute as well. Lord, please preserve these institutions. And Lord, for every man that stands to preach the full counsel of your word, please fill his heart, Lord, and fill his mouth. Lord, please hinder those that are opposed to you. Please save those, Lord, and edify those that don't yet know you. Help us, Lord, always to be a help at this time. Can't really think of anything else, Lord, but you know all of our needs and our private prayer requests and petitions. You know the comforts and strengths that we need, and I pray you for them all. Love you, Lord, and thank you. Please don't be done with us, Father. Amen. All right, we are going to treat you, and I hope that's not in quotes, air quotes, to the Bethel Baptist Bradfield Duet version of Who is on the Lord's Side, 406. If you're able to sing along with us, sing along with us, and I pray that you enjoy.
Thank you. Amen. I would like to say that we purposely left the music off the last verse just so that that could be a little treat for you, but sometimes our music machine doesn't have as many verses on it as we expect. I must remember to check that. Thank you for joining in with us. We are going to have a little Bible reading. And this one is the last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4. There's only a half a dozen verses in it, but it is so very important. Amen. Malachi chapter 4. And you do remember, if at any time you need to stop the recording whilst you find a Bible reference, just press the pause, find it, and come back to us again, and then we will continue on. I have been told that I have a lot of patience whenever people are listening to me on a recording, because I don't complain when you press the pause, and I don't stamp my feet or breathe heavily or roll my eyes whenever we do that, or whenever you do that. So there you go. It might be the only place I have patience, if you ask my wife, but there you go. Plenty of patience. Anyway, Malachi chapter 4. The word of God says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Amen. Thank you for that. Appreciate the suggestion for the Bible reading for that particular portion of God's word. I love that, those last couple of verses, because the Lord refers to them whenever he was speaking about John the Baptist. He said, if you can take it, he said, John the Baptist is Elijah the prophet. He came in the spirit of Elijah, fearless, fearing neither man nor king. And he preached the gospel, and we all know that eventually he paid the price for it. But the Lord said there was none greater born of women, but even those that are the least in the kingdom of heaven will be greater than him, because John never had to get saved, filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. Anyway, we appreciate that. I just want to go on now and make a mention of a few other prayer requests. I think you've heard the names of all the folks associated with the church at the beginning of the service. I just ask that you would continue to pray for each other. Pray for us as well. My recovery still goes apace. It's a slow pace, unfortunately, but it still goes apace. And please do pray for Pat and Steve. Steve recovers from his last angina attack. That was a few months back now, but please do pray for him. Norman's recovering rightly from his chest infection, and please do pray that this is all of the health problems that we do suffer from in Bethel, that nobody that would be under risk gets this coronavirus, if indeed we haven't had it already and it's gone through the church. But please do pray about that. But please do pray for world leaders and the leaders of our own country at this time. I know there's a lot of fear mongering. There's always a lot of fear mongering whenever things like this happen, because whenever you get a bunch of people together, they are very easy to manipulate. Please do pray that people keep their eyes, at least God's children, keep their eyes upon their Heavenly Father and keep right with him. And that means you and me. Let us remember to keep our eyes upon the Lord. There have been instances in newspapers, not newspapers, but over across the world where a pastor said, I am not going to stop my church services. And I think one of them is actually dying of coronavirus, and another has had a number of members of his congregation die. It's not against churches. It's against people congregating together. That's the best way to stop a disease. Quarantine's mentioned in the Bible many, many times. So just stay away from people. If everybody did it, a month at the most would do it. And then we could all get back to normal. But unfortunately, a lot of people think they know better than God, think they know better than doctors, think they know better than governments. And then we'll end up keeping this thing going. Please do pray for souls, that sense would reign, that the Lord's hand would be seen in it, that Arlene Foster would see to sorting out our laws, that Boris Johnson would have a renewed respect for the health service, and that people would keep their wits and realise that getting out for a Friday or Saturday night for half a dozen pints is not the most important thing in the world. Amen. We remember, I'm sure each one of us has private prayer requests. We will remember those. And we're thankful that I haven't had to do any funerals, that everyone is well enough to keep going. Please do remember Maslin and Georgina Fleckner, who are planning to come back to Bethel whenever they move back up to this neck of the woods at the moment. Whenever we post the CDs in through your doors and put the messages up on the internet, we are also posting them out the week's services, the Sunday morning service and the Wednesday evening service. And my dad as well. I don't think his church in Portadown is doing that. So please do pray for my dad. Amen. I think that's about that. Is there anything else, Mrs. Bradfield, that we need to remember? Just pray for the Maboy Road Church, for Carol and Harold, I think it is, Harry Diamond. And I can't for the life of me remember, Carol, your mom's name. Please do let me know. And pray for Jane and Stephen and Anne-Marie. And remember Henry as well. That's the CD church that we have. Also in that bunch is Sally and Sammy and Kate and Alan Leslie and Pearl Hetherington. These are the souls that we also deliver CDs to. Please do pray for each other. Amen. Well, I suppose we should have a brief word of prayer. We're not going to go through all of that, but some of it, and then we will sing you another song, hopefully with the music for all the verses in it this time. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again. Lord, we really are getting to the wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, and we are here in your name, and we know that if anyone is listening to this, that they are gathering with us in spirit in your name. And I pray you, Lord, that you'd be with each one of us. Please, Lord, give our world leaders wisdom, put the brakes on foolish behaviour in the corridors of power, regardless of where they might be, whether Christian country, post-Christian country, or Muslim, communist, whatever it is, Lord. Please, Father, I pray you, give wisdom. Help people to see the eternal picture, the big picture. Pray you, Lord, for private prayer requests, that you would grant them according to your will. Lord, that those that have backslidden would seriously consider getting back to you. And Father, that you would just bless us as we spend this time around your word. Please open our understanding and please encourage us and watch over us. We love you and praise you. And thank you, Lord, that no matter how far away someone is, distance and walls and barbed wire fences and minefields do not stop the Holy Spirit from convicting a soul. Please convict souls, Lord, of sin and judgment to come. Pray for Israel. Bless, protect and keep them. And help us always, Lord, to be a help in pointing people to the foot of the cross and definitely not a hindrance. Lord, please oppose those that are keen on sending souls to hell. I love you and thank you, Lord. Please speak to hearts and minds of folks in Derry, especially those that have heard the gospel in days, weeks, months and years gone by. And Lord, we look forward to doing that again. We ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's see what we have for our second hymn. All right, we are going to do hymn number 86. We're going to sing hymn number 86 next. Hymn number 86 is In the Garden. Bibles. We are going to be reading in, I think it's Luke chapter 19 today. If you would like to take and turn there, we are going to be reading in Luke chapter 19, and we're going to be reading from verse number 11. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 11. We're speaking on the subject of the gift. And what did you do with it? Amen. The Word of God says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should appear immediately. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, not if, but when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thy good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into a bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? That's interest. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, but he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Amen. That is our Bible reading, the parable of the talents in Matthew, the parable of the pounds in the book of Luke. Amen. I'll have a brief word of prayer and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, I pray you for the words to say at this particular time. I pray you for remembrance of all those good Bible verses, but I pray you most of all, Lord, that your will would be done. Bless this time, use it to flavour our day and the rest of our lives, Lord, and we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Told you it would be brief, and it's not very often you get a brief prayer or a brief sermon from me, but I like to treat the people at least once a year, and normally Christmas is about 10 or 15 minutes, but amen. Amen. Like we said, this parable is mentioned twice in the Gospels. It's mentioned in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 25, and we will be referring to it very briefly. Well, it's also mentioned in the book of Luke chapter 19, and the emphasis, the one that convinced me to take Luke 19 as our particular text, even though we will be referring to Matthew 25, was the first verse of this portion where one of the reasons the Lord was giving them this parable first was that they thought that Jesus was going to usher in the kingdom of God there and then. And so that's one of the reasons that this parable was given to them. All parables are talking about things that have been kept hidden from the foundation of the earth, but that the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to anybody that will care to open the Gospels and read them and think about them. This one is talking about, again, bearing in mind that he is speaking to the disciples that think Jesus is going to bring in the kingdom.
This tells an account of a man, a ruler, that went into a far country or was going into a far country to receive a kingdom. Who does that remind you of? That, of course, is speaking of Christ. Came here, but was going to receive a kingdom. But before he went, he called his servants. And this one, he called 10 servants. Only 3 are mentioned. There's only 3 mentioned in Matthew 25 as well. And he gives each one of them a pound. A pound of what? I don't know. I know pounds weren't the currency of the day, but maybe it was back in the days whenever this was written down that a pound was the measure of currency. And he says to each one, here you go. And the magic words at the end of verse 13 are occupy till I come. That would be, if you wanted a text, that would be the text at the end of verse 13, occupy. Keep yourself busy in a good way until I come back. In the book of Matthew, one of the men is given 5 talents, another 1 2 talents, and another 1 talent, as the word of God says, according to his several ability, according to what the Lord considered them to be capable of. And so there are not 2 different parables, but there are 2 ways of looking at the people that are spoken of in these servants. Now, first way would be that all are given the same opportunity. In this version here, we see each of the 10 servants is given a pound and told to go and do something with it. And that would be, to me, to my way of thinking, each one of God's children is given a life and told to go and do something with it. In the book of Matthew, each one is given a different set number of talents, and that could be any number of things. The fact that someone is musical, someone is more mathematics inclined, someone is artistically inclined. Maybe someone is born into a wealthier family. I don't know, but in the word of God, pick one. Use it for yourself. But the real rub comes down to the fact that they are commanded to occupy until the Lord comes back again. In one case, it sounds like one man pretty much devotes his life to multiplying that £1 into £10. The next man, maybe not so much, into £5. And the third man that's mentioned here, he doesn't do a single thing with it. He wraps it up, and in the book of Matthew, it talks about him burying it somewhere, out of the way, out of sight, out of mind, and just goes on about his own business at no profit to his Lord whatsoever. I am sure that this is a common thought with many people that profess Christ as their Savior today, that Christ is never coming back, that your life is endless. But let me tell you, as the grey hairs appear on your temples, and as the wrinkles appear around your eyes, as the aches and pains niggle you a little bit more every morning, you should seriously consider the life that you have left and how you are going to stand in front of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you going to be the one that presents his Lord with the £10 and say, Lord, here you go? Are you going to be the one that presents his Lord with the £5 and says, Lord, here you go. Lord, I couldn't be a missionary. I couldn't be a preacher. I was a father and a business owner, but Lord, I tithed. I was faithful in church and I was much in prayer. I couldn't do. I couldn't lead as many souls. But you know what, Lord? I helped other people lead souls to Christ. And that's fine. But what's not fine is doing nothing with your Christian life. In fact, the word of God even goes so far as to say that a soul that is given a life and does nothing for God, not even saved, because in this case he is taken and slain. What he has is taken off of him and given to somebody else, and that very much speaks of the end of a life. In this case, serving the Lord and producing these talents, these pounds to give back to him through labours and whatever else that a person has done, has ensured that they will be a ruler over many things. In fact, the Lord says over 10 cities and 5 cities respectfully. And when he comes to this last one, he says, take away whatever he has and give it to the guy with the 10 talents, the 10 cities, the 10 pounds. The Lord goes on to say in the parable, for everybody which hath, in other words, which hath Jesus Christ as their Saviour, which hath devoted at least some of their life to the Lord, he shall be given stuff, he shall be rewarded. But the soul that doesn't have Jesus Christ as their Saviour, they have nothing. Everything that they have will be taken away from them when their life is over. And all those that oppose the Lord, the Word of God says, they make their appearance in Revelation chapter 20 at the great white throne of judgment, where their works are checked against the books of the Bible, and then because their names are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're thrown into the lake of fire. And that could be after as many as 6,000-7,000 years suffering in hell and the lake of fire. Anyway, that's the explanation of the parable. It is an encouragement to the Christian to do something for God, but it's also a warning to the lost soul. Hold on a second. You mean to tell me that I am going to have nothing in the endless ages of eternity, not even peace, not even rest? And the answer is no, you won't. That's why the Lord gave himself and his only begotten Son on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins, to enable you to have eternal life. That's why God... Anyway, we'll get to that in a bit. I'm not going to chop up the service. I've got notes here. Now, if you've been listening into these services and you've been listening to them in order, there's a date on each one of them, you'll know that this quarantine and this virus has been like an ever-present friend, even in church services. And we've been thinking on the blessings, although many might not think about it, of being shut in the house, and an opportunity to think about our lives and what actually makes them up. I do consider this to be a gift. I have been pretty much in quarantine for 3 or 4 months now because of surgery and because I was ill with sepsis in December. It did take it out of me, and it is taking time to get back to there again. But this has been a good time to prioritize, because never in the whole history of man has the whole of mankind pretty much had the time to consider where they're going to go in eternity. They've never had time to take a breath. I know many of the emergency services are still pushed and greatly pressed for support. But generally speaking, most of the world's population has got an opportunity that they will probably never get again to consider their eternities. This parable is not just about Christians. It's also about those that have rejected Christ. Because, friends, we have free will. Even in a Muslim country, you can go to a mosque. You can pray to Mecca. You can say all the prayers. And in your mind, you can be saying, I'm saying this to save my life because I don't know what else to do. We can do whatever we want in our minds. And that's why God judges our minds. Did you know that? In Matthew chapter 5, he said, look, if you killed someone, you'd be in danger of judgment. But Jesus said, even if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you're in danger of the same judgment. To look upon a woman, or indeed a man, to lust after them, makes you guilty of adultery. It's what goes on in our minds that is important, because eventually it comes out in our lips and our hands and our feet, things we do and the places we go. We have a free will. And I am sure there are many that sit in churches that will never see the kingdom of heaven. They think that church attendance is sufficient to make for heavenly attendance. But it's not. The Lord God, this past week, the whole country took a breath, the shops all closed, whilst we endeavoured to remind you of the great sacrifice that Jesus made for each and every one of us. Not for all of us, but for each one of us. It's an individual gift. Everybody is not going to heaven. Everybody could, but everybody isn't, because so many people don't want to accept Christ as their Savior. We have the free will to accept Him or reject Him. And for that, we get the following. First of all, we get the assurance of eternal life. We are going to heaven, the Word of God says. Jesus says, look, I will keep you in the palm of my hand. You might think, well, we've played that game before. We try and snatch the money out of somebody's hand. Well, the Bible also says that God keeps you in the palm of His hand. So the palm of His hand goes over the palm of Jesus' hand and seals you in there. But more than that, the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit seals you until the day of redemption. Just like Noah's Ark, preserved from within, you are going to heaven when you repent of your sins, when you tell God you're sorry for your sins and ask Him to be your Savior. You are going to heaven, and not even the stupidest thing that you do can change that. That's your first free gift, the assurance of salvation after you ask Jesus to be your Savior. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who will teach you all things whatsoever I have commanded you, Jesus said, and I think it was in John 14. The Lord has given the world a history with the crimson threads representing His Son woven throughout. He has given us a life, and at this moment in time, time and a mind to think for ourselves. We already spoke about that. He has preserved His Word for us, even in the face of so-called Christians that would rather read a watered-down, do-the-best-you-can perversion of His Word. Because we need it. He gave us His only begotten Son on the cross of Calvary. He didn't even withhold Himself for the full payment of the sins of each person in the world. He gave us notification of His leaving us. He said, I'm going. But He also said, I'm coming back. But whenever I'm gone, I'm going to leave you another comforter, and that's the Holy Spirit, and He will convict you of sin, the lost souls. The reason you keep thinking on bad things and your conscience keeps pricking you is because someone's praying for you and the Holy Spirit's convicting you about your sins. The Holy Spirit, whenever He is given, He seals you. He works on the inside of you, in your heart and your mind. And He will teach you, and He will comfort you, and He will strengthen you, and He will make you wise, and He will make you bold, and He will protect you if you let Him. The Lord also gave us a timetable. And He said, I'll be back. Just like Arnold Schwarzenegger says in his movies, I'll be back. Jesus said, I'm coming back. Now, if you were given a bus timetable, you would look down to where it is where you are, where you want to go to, and you would check the time. Those three things will get you standing at the right bus stop at the right time, getting the right bus to the right place. And Jesus said, I've given you exactly the same. You're on the earth, you are a sinner, you're wanting to go to heaven, I take it, because nobody in their right mind wants to suffer throughout the endless ages of eternity. Here's the things you look for. You look for things being back to front, Christians being hated when all they want to do is tell people about the great things that Jesus has done. Wicked things and wicked people are worshipped and glorified. Isaiah chapter 5 said, they'll give sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet, good for evil and evil for good. He said, look out for a world where you have a worldwide communications network. The Bible says when Jesus comes back, every eye will see Him. Even with the best of telescopes in the world, if something's happening in Australia, I'm not going to be able to see it with a telescope. He said, there'll be a day whenever images will be able to be given life. We can do that on our little plastic rectangles. Don't forget that. He He said, look out for a day when even guys that are supposed to be standing in the pulpits warning people about sin and judgment to come are not. It is necessary to get to heaven that you must be born again. No good works, no family connection, no church membership gets a person to heaven. It gets you to church. The only thing that gets you to heaven is having Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the only way to have Him as your Savior is to tell Him you're sorry for your sins and mean it. And turn away from them and turn to Him. Years ago, I prayed, Lord, you know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. And the people in this church, Lord, don't know a thing about me. Would you please save me? And He did, there and then. And it's still working 32 years later. My goodness. God gave us a timetable. And He says, when you see all these things happening, you will know that it's at the very door. Technology, even the weapons of our warfare, the Bible says in Matthew 24, He said, look, if I didn't come back, there'd be no flesh saved. And we live in a day when we can kill everybody. Goodness, a little bug coming out of Wuhan in China has spread across the world and killed, I don't know, what are we up to, 100,000 plus people at the moment. We live in those days when knowledge is greatly increased, when men travel to and fro. He said so much, but I'm going to finish with these last two wee things. These things that God has given us. He gave us a purpose. He said, go out and know all you people want to know what it's like to be God, to have absolute power. He said, here's a wee taste of it. Go out and tell people about me. Go on out there and seek and save, to seek and save that which is lost. Occupy until I come. Not occupy watching TV or occupy playing sports or video games or occupy drinking and smoking and doing drugs. That means when the Lord gives that command, it means to do my will until I come back. There are so many protections, benefits in doing the will of God. One of the ones that just springs to mind is Isaiah 40 and 31. It says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will walk and not be weary, and run and not be faint. I probably butchered that a bit, but you know the idea. He said, occupy until He come. But He also said, there's going to be a day of reckoning. There will come a day when the Lord comes back. There will come a day when we stand in front of Him, saved and lost. And the saved, He'll say, well, what did you do with the saved soul that I gave you and the years that I gave you after that? Some people's going to be embarrassed, but they're still going to get to heaven. To the lost, He's going to say, I don't care what you did. You never got saved. Despite the Egypt standing in the corner of a car park, despite the leaflets that went through the door, despite the conversations around a cup of tea, despite the Facebook entries, despite the emails, despite the phone calls. I'm afraid. Because you rejected my Son as your Savior, I must reject you as my child. And the Word of God says at the end of Revelation 20 that whosoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. So, it used to be, before I took ill, that if you checked my pockets at any given time, you would find at least one pocket knife and maybe a Leatherman multi-tool. And if someone asked me, why do you always carry those things around with you? I would say, you wouldn't believe the number of times in a day I need to undo a screw, to cut open a letter, to use the pliers even just to give me that little bit of extra grip on something. I use them constantly. Now, they were a gift to me. The Leatherman was from my wife. The pocket knife was from myself. But if I, after, as my wife used to say, they got tired of cleaning my drool off the cabinet in Walmart all those years ago, whenever I used to go up and say, oh. You ever see the picture of the little kid with his face pressed up against the glass? his nose pressed flat, and he's got a, there's a mouth print and a nose print. That was me in Walmart. I think they just got, Monica got tired of them having to clean the glass, and so she purchased that for me. How do you think she would feel if I left it in the box in a drawer? I think she might be a bit miffed, especially after all the motions that I went through to I'm not going to say swear my undying love to Leatherman, but you know what I mean. What have we done with this great gift that God has given us? Wouldn't it be awful if you called a workman and he came to your house to fix a fence and all of his tools were still in plastic packets, never having been used? You would think, does this guy actually know what he's doing? He never uses any of his tools. What have we done with this great gift that the creator of the world, of the universe, and the savior of anybody that will come to him is purchased for us? What have we done? Before we answer that, remember the parable that said Jesus was going to go away for a while, but he would be coming back. People are saying, oh, but that's 2,000 years ago. 2 Peter chapter 3, a favorite verse of mine, says, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is just like a day. Time means nothing to Jesus. It means everything to us, but it means nothing. He is faithful, regardless of whether his promises take 1,000 years to come or whether they're going to come next day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the Lord's intentions towards you. He wants you saved. But it goes on to say, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It will come as a bit of a surprise. In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. In other words, it's all gone someday. There is going to be the greatest fire sale this universe has ever seen. So the question is, seeing that all of these things are going to disappear, what sort of person ought you to be in all conversation and godliness? What sort of person should we be? We are challenged to give some serious thought about our lives and the sort of person we should be. And it reminds me of a dad speaking to a son, well, specifically my dad speaking to me. Have you done your chores? Have you cut the grass? Have you cleaned the car? The hoovering was never a bother. First thing Friday afternoon when I came home, I got the hoover out and I got my chores done to get it out of the way, because there was nothing worse than being forced to do your chores. It was much easier to do it yourself. But the Lord is saying to his children, Christian, what have you done with your life? Did you go to church? Because the Lord says we should go to church. Did you lift up my praises? Did you sing my good old songs, the ones with the blood, the ones with conviction in them? Did you tell other people about what I did for you and what I would do for them? Did you behave yourself like a Christian? Did you make your testimony a good testimony? Were your words Christian words? Were the places that you went places that you would have been okay to walk arm in arm with me? God said. The clothes that you wear, or in most cases don't wear, do you really think they're suitable for a Christian gentleman or lady to be wearing? Did you put your tithes in the church? Church doesn't run on fresh air. Until the day comes that it does, we still need our tithes. Were you a good brother in Christ to your brethren? Did you come before me in prayer? In 1 Samuel 12, Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. We are commanded to pray about our brethren. If you don't pray about your brethren, that really doesn't say very much for your love for your brethren, i.e. you can't remember them or you can't be bothered. Did you open the Bible? Did you read about me? Did you learn about me? Because it is important. It's a strange thing. The word of God is like bleach for the soul. You put it in your head, it's hard to countenance all the things. It's hard to countenance bad language, profanity, immorality. It's hard to think on those things whenever you're rattling through a series of Bible verses. God said, if you hide your word, my word in your heart, you'll find it very difficult to sin against me. So, hide his word in your heart. I want to play. Do you know what? It took me a long time. It took me a long time from being a teenager, being forced to do all the chores, to wanting to do them to please my dad. Sometimes, as Anakin Skywalker said at the end of one of the Star Wars movies, he said, I am a slow learner. And I am a slow learner. Thank the Lord for his patience on my dad too and my mum. Did you contend for lost souls? Did you argue with them? Did you give them all the verses of Scripture that were sealed in your heart that the Holy Spirit brought to your attention? Did you stand for me when nobody else did? Was it about me or was it about you? Did you lean on my wisdom instead of the world's wisdom? Did you stand upon the solid rock? Did you obey me after you went out of church? Are you still a Christian when you pull the curtains in the house? They say that is the real test of Christ. All these things and more. The Lord's going to ask you, Christian. And he's not asking to put you down. In fact, you know what? He's asking you right now, have you done these things? Do you know what? I am coming back. I am going to be asking you these things. Do you not want to? Even sometimes if you have to grit your teeth, and there's a part of you that says, I don't want to be told what to do. Can you not realize that it's for your own benefit? And that it's for the benefit of those that stand around you watching you, because people do. What the Lord needs for you to do those things, because lost souls need to see you living like a Christian. And Christians need to live like Christians. They're not going to make God a more powerful God. I remember seeing a very, very old TV show. It was a black and white about these creatures that lived in eternity wanting. I think it was a TV show. They needed people to believe in them and to worship in them to get their power back. God is still God. He was God before we walked on the, before there was an earth to walk upon, and he'll be God after this earth goes up in flames and we're standing in the new heaven and the new earth and walking the streets of gold. He will still be an omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. And we will be at last the perfect creatures that he created. It makes us greater and better. It makes us cleaner and holier to do these things. In fact, the Word of God actually says, look, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and to do that, it had to be spotless. Anyway, it's to we need to make ourselves presentable to God. And that'll keep us away from so many harmful things in the world. It'll show the rest of the world that, my goodness, I thought whenever you got saved, you started living for God, you had to walk around with your head down looking at the ground all the time, crying and weeping. No. Think for a second on the parable of the mustard seed. I used to wonder what that was about, and for many years I asked the Lord, Lord, you know what, that, yes, it's true, but it doesn't make any sense. And he said, it's about the trees, Mark, it's about the trees. And some people stand so close to them, they can't see the wood for the trees. The mustard seed, different seed, tiny seed. And if you were to ask a tree what it thinks is the most important thing in the world, it might say, so that I can produce seeds and so that the birds of the air have a place to sleep in at night. They have a nest. And that's my life. You might say to the mustard seed, well, mustard seed, you're not growing, you're tiny compared to the seeds of all the rest of the trees. It's like dust, nearly. And as you grow, you look more like a bush than a tree, but as you mature, you're a tree, and the birds of the air come and make their nests in it. So really, It's a valid life. It's accomplishing what the other trees accomplish. But it's a Christian life. If you can have a wife, a family, a job, a husband, children, parents, all of those things. And you can have Jesus Christ, and it can be a great life. If you let him. If you will use all the things that he has given you, they're all there for a reason. So, how is it we turn that one talent, that £1 into 10? How do we turn one Christian life into 10 Christian lives? Well, see, when you do all those things. I've heard many times that preachers are called. Sometimes preachers are called by other preachers. That's not how it works. I heard another preacher say one time that the more of the Word of God you put into your heart and mind, the more that it wants to come out in your lips and your hands and your feet. I think the Holy Spirit calls preachers. I believe God Almighty calls preachers. And whether you preach in a pulpit or whether you preach around a kitchen table or to your friends and colleagues in work or to complete and utter strangers in the street, when they see that in spite of all that you're doing, you're still having, goodness, one of the greatest thrills in life is to overcome the world, the flesh and the devil, and to shout out God's word in a street corner. Can you imagine the fear and the adrenaline and then the joy in overcoming that to do the right thing? You can have thrills, not just temporary thrills, but eternal joys, thrills in knowing that you have overcome yourself, that the devil came up and tried to beat you and you have overcome the devil. And you have overcome popular opinion to preach and to teach about God. When people hear those things, whether they get saved, whether they don't get saved, when you discharge your duty to even one soul, I believe that is the pounds. That those are the pounds and the talents that are mentioned in the Word of God. Be faithful. The Bible doesn't ask you to be successful. It says, be faithful. Preach, read, study, pray. Live life the way God would have you to live life. And someday, and it will be someday, the Word of God says, we will stand in front of him. To the lost man, The Lord God Almighty will seem like a hard man, an austere man. Why? The lost man is going to fall afoul of all the commandments that God left for him in his word. He's going to be guilty of breaking so many. He is going to go to hell in the lake of fire, and God's going to ask him, why? Why did you not do what I asked you to do? This is going to say, because I didn't like you. Why not? Because you make demands. You give commands. It says those are for your own good. But I don't like being told what to do. And that's what it's going to amount to. And he's going to say, take everything that man has and give it to him that has £10. Life will be gone. Belongings will be gone. Everything will be under the control, for that 1,000-year reign at least, of the man that had 10 talents. Is that the way you want it to be? I certainly wouldn't want to. I don't want to meet God as judge. I already met him as judge. Let me tell you, it took a lot for me to come before him and to say, Lord, I am a sinner. Please save me. I am acknowledging your judgment of me. I am a sinner already. Not because I have done something wrong. I am a sinner. I need you to save me. And he did. Because he promised that whosoever cometh unto him, he'll in no wise cast out. He'll never forsake. And he'll never leave you. I would far rather. I am glad it's going to be a case of, Dad, I made a few mistakes, Dad, but This is what I did for you. You know what I did for you. I preached, I went, I told. He's going to say, well done, a good and faithful servant. There might be a bit of ear plucking whenever he puts his arm around me and says, do you remember those times you did that and you thought no one was watching? Yeah, I know, felt bad about that. He says, but well done, those sins are forgiven you. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Dad, I did all that for you with my life because of all that you did for me with your life on the cross of Calvary and for all that you've been doing ever since. I would far rather meet him as a friend, as a father, as a Lord, than as a judge, jury and executioner. You see that gift that God has given you. If you're listening to this, you have the gift of life that God has given you. Why don't you ask him to save your soul as well? And then take and use all that in the new world as a new creature that you have been born into and do something with it. It's a funny thing, a lot of people complain now about, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do the other. Let me tell you something. I've been fighting and calling out people's names in the halls of heaven for months now whenever I couldn't get out the door. I can still do something for Jesus, and so can you. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. We're going to treat you to another song. I can't just remember which one it is right now, but I'm going to get to it in just a second. Here we are. This one is 185, I Stand Amazed. It's called My Saviour's Love. First line is, I Stand Amazed. 185, thank you for your good time and attention. We'll close with this in a word of prayer, and then we will be done.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for your good time and attention. God bless you. We pray that you would take these days and do something for Jesus after all that he has done for you. And don't be afraid of what other people say or what other people think or even what they do. You just keep your eyes upon the Lord and he will keep his eyes upon you. God bless you. Thank you again for your good time and attention. We'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Bless it to us, not just this morning, but for the rest of our lives as we go on, as we take time, Lord, and as we bring people before you in prayer and minister to them in life, Lord, please save souls. Please strengthen and comfort and give us portions of wisdom, Lord. Show us what's right from your word, from the sermons, from the songs, from the Bible readings, from, Lord, you know. Pray, Lord, most of all, that you wouldn't be done with us, that you would be our constant companion, that you would save souls, and even in this time when churches are empty, that you would broaden the borders of Bethel. Please put your good hand upon all the factions that are needed for the sale of the land, for the Charities Commission, Lord. And those are our wee needs, but please save lives and please save souls, Lord. We love you and thank you. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Folks, we'll be back next this coming Sunday. God bless you and talk to you then.